You're listening to the Unofficial Expression Engine Podcast, episode number 98. Today, we're continuing our Get to Know EECMS hashtag series with special guest, Angie Herrera of 420 Creative. I'm your host, Leah Alcantara, and I'm joined by my fab co-host,
Emily Lewis.
The Expression Engine Podcast would like to thank Pixel & Tonic for being our major sponsor of the year.
Hey, Leah, what's new?
I'm actually in an amazing mood today because my house sale closes officially today.
Ah, yeah. So this is up in Edmonton, Canada.
Yes. So that means I'm going to get a huge bunch of money in my bank account today. I sort of feel like Stewie from Family Guy. I don't know, for those that watch Family Guy, there's that episode where Stewie tries to get money from Brian. And then that's how I feel like right now. It's like, give me my money.
That's good. So was it a relatively smooth process selling your house while you were moving to another country?
No. There's like weird tax related situations when the house sells after you've moved to the United States. Because I officially became a non-resident the moment I moved, I have to like apply for a special certificate saying that I'm a non-resident and that I don't owe tax to the government of Canada, you know, stuff like that. Because there's a lot of foreign investors in Canada. And once you become a foreign investor, that means your property is due for capital gains tax.
Right, right.
And clearly, we don't really qualify for that because that was our primary residence. But the moment we become non-resident, then it becomes an investor, possibly. Anyway, it's a whole complicated thing. There was a potential that my property could have been taxed or money could have been withheld.
Crap.
Yeah. But I got great news today saying that we got the certificate today, the same day it's closing. So that means I'm going to get 100% of the funds.
Well, that's really excellent news. So let's take a shift and talk about some Expression Engine news. Ellis Lab had a few announcements last week. There's been some response on Twitter and elsewhere in regarding it. The first is this new grid field type that's available in the developer preview for version 2.7.
Mm-hmm. So Ellis Lab, there's nothing really odd with the idea of having an update about what's going on with EE. It's quite welcome. I think what's interesting about the way they
announced it.
The way they announced the new grid field type was interesting due to its mostly personal tone, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have certain opinions about that. I'm not sure that was the right direction they could have gone with the announcement. It isn't an announcement itself, I think, that I had an issue with as opposed to the tone.
Right. Them announcing a new field type, as they describe it, allows authors to use group field types to publish any number of rows of related content within an entry.
Mm-hmm.
I got no problem with that. You know, it's something that the system has needed for a long time. But I felt like their announcement was far too much personal information and drama than I care about as a software user.
Yeah.
I am so sick and tired of the drama related to some of this stuff. And what I care about, bottom line, is that Expression Engine continues to be great software. I care that there continues to be an active and thriving community that produces add-ons to extend Expression Engine. I also want to continue to see innovation, and I want to continue to see competition. None of those things are bad for me or my clients. And so I feel like calling someone out for competition is just kind of like whining about the state of doing business.
Yeah, that's basically where I stand too. It's kind of like, just announce it.
Yeah, tell us what you're doing.
Exactly. Just let us know. And then if there is any drama or whatever, that's something that they can't control. However,
they can control themselves.
Exactly. So it's just, I think it wasn't the right direction in the way they announced. In comparison, when they announced their new Relic compatibility.
Yeah, that was great.
I would prefer moving forward if they made any new announcements to just let us know what's going on. Reiterate that they're committed to the software and innovation and and bug fixes, etc. And I'd be happy.
Yeah, that's, you and I are on the same page there. The New Relic thing, I'm actually really interested in, because I think it was when you were off and we had Anna Brown guest co-hosting, Ryan Battles mentioned New Relic, and Anna said she's using it. I've never used it. I actually don't even know what it is. So this is going to force me to take a look at that service as well.
Well, when I was at the Seattle EE meetup, Matt Fordham talked a little bit about New Relic, because when they launched the Sasquatch Festival site and they were really concerned over server load and making sure that the site doesn't go down during launch, they were using that tool to make sure that everything looked good. Mm-hmm. And so it was really interesting, especially because it showed the spike when they actually did launch. And I think it was a really interesting tool to just really see where the spike actually was, because the tool actually shows you, like, okay, the spike happened here and it's due to this particular thing. Like, is it due to they're waiting for server load, or is it due to like some JavaScript pause thing, you know, that kind of thing. So that was really interesting. And it's, I think, really useful if you are trying to troubleshoot where the bottlenecks are. Yeah.
I'm excited to take a look at the service. And when Expression Engine comes out with whatever version that supports that, then that'll be cool.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to today's episode. We've got special guest Angie Herrera for our Get to Know EECMS hashtag series. Angie runs 420 Creative, a web studio in Portland, Oregon that specializes in Expression Engine. Angie is also really active in the EE community and organizes the Portland EE meetup group. Thanks for joining us today, Angie.
Thanks for having me, ladies.
So can you briefly tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, well, I have been a designer for about 13 years. I actually went to school for design, which I find to be rare these days. Mm-hmm. And I've been running my business for 10 out of those 13 years. And I got started in web design and development pretty early on when I started my business. So yeah, that's about the gist of it.
So what made you pursue that in the first place? So you went to design school. Was that design school specifically web design and development, or was it just regular print graphic design?
Yeah, no, it was, I went to Oregon State, which is your typical liberal arts four-year school, you know, and back then it was pretty much just graphic design. So I learned all the graphic design stuff, logo design, that sort of thing.
Sure.
And web design wasn't really part of the curriculum. It is now, but I got started in web design and development pretty much because my clients started asking for it. Mm. I was doing logos, letterheads, stationery, marketing materials, brochures, that sort of thing, and clients would just start asking me, hey, you know, I think I need a website. There's this new web stuff coming up. So they asked me for a web design. So I was pretty much forced to do that because of client requests.
So you talk about client requests pretty early on. Does that mean like after you graduated from college, you started your own company right away?
No, definitely not. I mean, I was freelancing a little bit on the side, but right after college, I actually spent a year in Spain.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was doing an internship there, which was primarily teaching English at a university, but I was also in charge of the English department's website. And that's actually where I started to learn a little bit about web design. Not so much about code. I mean, I was using Adobe Go Live, that ancient piece of software. Yeah, that's what I was using. And then I think I somehow got my hands on Dreamweaver. But that's really where I started playing around with it. And then when I got back to the States at my first job here, I was doing mostly print design, but they also needed some web design stuff too. So I was doing some web stuff there. So I actually the client request didn't come until I started my business in 2003.
Now, when you did get back to the States, you mentioned you worked for someone. Was that like an agency, or were you like in-house marketing or something like that?
No, yeah, I was definitely in-house. I was number two out of two in our design department. So it was a uniform manufacturing company here in Portland. And it was a great little gig to start out with.
Now, why did you start to strike out on your own and have your own company and your own clients?
My hand was kind of forced. When I left my job, or when I was contemplating leaving my job, I actually was looking for an agency job. I really wanted to work in an agency. But at that time, for whatever reason, there just weren't jobs available in Portland. The market was terrible. And I really didn't want to move. So I decided to take a leap of faith. And I asked my mom for some help. And I was like, you know, if this doesn't work in 3 to 6 months, I'll go back to looking for a job, even if it's flipping hamburgers, I don't care. But it worked out. So a few months later, I got a couple clients. And I've been doing that ever since.
Now, you mentioned you kind of gave yourself like a 3 to 6 month window when you were getting started out. did you just keep extending that window? At what point did you realize that this was going to be long term for you?
No, I didn't extend it. I definitely gave myself a deadline to have steady work. I don't remember. It feels like it's been so long. I don't remember what it was that made me realize, yeah, this is going to work. I think probably when I could tell my mom, okay, I don't need money for mortgage anymore. I think that was the moment where I was like, okay, this is going
to
work.
That's cool. That sounds very familiar to my own story too. Like when I first started, I also thought to myself, okay, I'm going to give myself a deadline. I don't care if it, I end up working at 7-Eleven or whatever. It's just my first goal, make sure the bills are paid. And once that goal is passed, let's hopefully make more money.
Yeah, definitely. That was definitely one of my things that I said too. I got to make sure my bills are paid. Yeah.
So how long have you been working with EE? How did you get started with the Expression Engine?
I've been working with EE since around 2006, late 2006. I was doing some work for another web shop here in town, and we were exploring some options for a client of theirs. They needed to be able to manage a couple, two or three different websites, and hopefully using one login, that sort of thing. So I did some research, and I had heard about Expression Engine online from like Mark Bolton and the Belgian designer Verla Peters.
Yeah.
So I took a look at it. I had initially taken a look at WordPress MU that they had. I don't know if they still have it, but then I took a look at Expression Engine and downloaded the free version and kind of played around with it. It seemed like the right way to go. So that's what we went with. And it's pretty much been on with EE ever since then.
That first project you described, was that like a multi-site manager situation?
Yeah.
So your first site was a multi-site manager? Really,
wow.
Really was. Yeah, I just dove into the deep end.
Crazy.
And which is funny because now I wouldn't touch MSM, you know, a 40-foot pole. But yeah.
I've been working on an MSM site system lately, and I'm starting to feel that way too. It's almost more trouble than it was worth in the beginning. Yeah. So when it comes to working with Expression Engine, do you find that the majority of your projects are like version 2, especially since you started like in 2006, or do you pick up older version 1 projects?
Most of them are version 2. Like we'll pick up version 1, particularly if people or our clients are trying to upgrade to version 2. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a few stragglers in there that are still on version 1. Like I've got one site that unfortunately I use Gypsy on. And so one is going to have to be a rebuild because it's a pretty massive site. So I'd say most of our projects are EE2.
Do you exclusively work with Expression Engine or do you work with other CMSs, whether in the past, or do you even do projects that don't even involve a content management system?
It's rare when we don't use a content management system. I actually did launch a site for a family member not too long ago that was completely static, but that's rare when that happens. But yeah, we definitely do use other CMSs. We played around with, well, not played around. We have actually launched a couple sites with Craft. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm getting into Statamic. After Peers Conference last week or week before, I really started to like Statamic. So I've been playing around with that. And actually, we're starting work on a site using Statamic. So those are the two other CMSs that we use. And I've played around with some other ones. So Expression Engine isn't the only one, although it is probably, I'd say 80% to 90% of the web work we do.
Picking up those new CMSs, you mentioned Craft and Statamic. What's been your experience? Are you relearning an approach? Is it sort of building on top of what you've just come to learn about CMSs in general? Has it been fun? Has it been a struggle?
A little bit of both, a little bit of everything. It's definitely building on top of what I know about content management systems in general, but I am definitely learning the whole partials thing because with Expression Engine, I haven't gone into, what's it called? Stash?
Stash, yeah.
Yeah, but with both Statamic and Craft, it really is more of a partial type of templating. So that's been different and it's actually been really, really great. So yeah, so there's a little bit of both in there, you know, building on, you know, and already knowing what the workflow should be, especially with when I'm working with other people and working with Git, you know, version control, that sort of thing. So that stuff is just trying to translate that over to the other systems and then just learning the new systems themselves.
So since we are talking about those different systems and you mentioned that you got a lot more into them at Peers, for those that are listening, Angie actually presented at Peers recently, and you also presented at Engine Summit as well. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that and why you got involved with each of them?
Sure. Well, Engine Summit, Emily was very kind and introduced me to Christopher, who is one half or helps run Engine Summit. So Christopher and I talked, and I had a what I thought was a pretty good idea. So he's like, yeah, let's do it. It'd be great. So I got involved primarily just because I feel like I've been doing this long enough where I do actually have something to give back. I think you get to that point in your career where you're like, you know, I do know a thing or two, and some people may not. So, and not to sound, you know, like I know everything, but it's more of just wanting to share so that other people can move forward with that information as well. So I just felt like it was time to kind of give back to the community and have fun with it. I've been to several conferences and I've watched a couple of the Environments for Humans, the things that they've done. I think that one of the first engine summits they did, I was a part of. So that would be fun to do. And then with peers, actually last year in Austin for EECI, Jess approached me and said that I should talk. She didn't really give me an option. She didn't ask. She's like, you need to talk. I was like, oh, okay. So we've been kind of going off and on for a while since then. And I came up with a topic and I decided to do it. And it was actually a lot more fun than I expected it to be. So it was great.
So at Engine Summit, that's for our listeners that don't know, it's an online conference. What did you present for them?
That was about helping clients succeed with Expression Engine. And I focused on three main components, which was the first one was just planning your site in Expression Engines, just before you touch any code or design or anything, just planning things. So, you know, you kind of get an idea of, you know, what fields you're going to need, what channels, that's how it's going to be set up. And then that way it helps you, it basically builds on each other. So you have that step. And then the second step builds on that by tweaking the control panel. So it's easy, not just for you as the developer, but also the client. So you're tweaking it so that they're super familiar with it. And so, or not super familiar with it as much as it becomes intuitive and easy for them to use. They're only needing to see what they need to see, access what they need to access. And the other stuff is just fluff, really. And then the third part is the training and education where I talked about different methods on how to train a client on Expression Engine if they haven't used it before, whether it's through video, PDF or online documentation or in-person training or a combination of those.
Now, what did you think about the online format as a presenter?
It was a little strange at first, but it was kind of nice because it was actually really perfect for me because it was a nice little warm up to peers. So it was great. But once I got into it, and I know a couple of the other people who presented, they mentioned this too, but once I got into it, it was smooth and not a big deal at all.
Now, what about peers? That's a new conference this year that you mentioned Jess D'Amico put together. Was that your first like in-person, in-public presentation at a conference?
Sort of, not really. I don't know if you guys remember EE Roadshow that was held first in Vancouver and then in Seattle. Mm-hmm. That was in 2009, 2010. The very first one in Vancouver, I actually was part of an SEO panel. So that was the very, very, very first time I'd ever been to a conference and presented in any sort of format before. So it had obviously been a while, but Peers was the first one where I actually presented on my own.
How was Peers?
Peers was fantastic. And I think that it's definitely going to happen again because everybody was saying it better happen again. And I think Jess realizes that. So yeah, it was great because one of the things that was great about it was that it wasn't centered around any one particular technology. You know, there was a little bit of EE in there. There was some Craft and Statamic and some Laravel in there. So it was great. And in addition to that, there were some business talks, which was part of what I was doing. Because it was the first time, I think it was relatively small. I think there were maybe under 100 people total. So that was also great because you got to talk to a lot more people in the same amount of time as other conferences. And so you got to know some people and really get around to talking to a majority of the attendees. So that was a great thing too.
So what was your biggest takeaway then from Peers?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, Lo did this talk right after mine. His was like the final talk of the entire conference. And it kind of dovetailed after mine on work and life and why we work and all this stuff. And one of the things that he said in his presentation was, I don't have to do anything. And for some reason, that has continued to stay in my head. Like, you know, you just don't have to do anything that you don't want to do, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But as far as the conference itself, one of the biggest takeaways, that's a really tough question. I think that just getting to know, well, let me back up. The conference is called Peers, which I think is super, super appropriate because it really was about people in the same profession getting to know each other and sharing information on different levels. And so the biggest takeaway was really just getting along with your peers and learning from them.
Very cool. So since we're talking about your workday and work life, etc. Do you have a typical day, or is your schedule different each day?
I don't have a typical day necessarily. I mean, I try to be habitual about it. Like, I try to make sure, you know, for instance, that I don't check my email more than a couple times a day. And I try to work on big chunks at a time. But it varies. It just depends, you know, if I've got client meetings coming up, that sort of thing. I don't really have a typical day, I don't think.
Do you have a typical kind of client, like an industry or a size of client?
No, not industry. I've tried that. It just hasn't worked for me, which is fine. I'm okay with that. I like the diversity. But as far as sizes of clients, I mean, we've worked with some larger clients for sure, but our clients tend to be small to medium-sized businesses. Mm-hmm. So I think that they're the most fun to work with just because they're a little bit more flexible in terms of giving you some leeway in terms of the design and the development and the options that you choose.
Now, when it comes to working with Expression Engine, what would you say are your strengths with the platform?
My strengths? That's a good question. I don't know. I feel like I've just been doing a little bit of everything in Expression Engine, but I think maybe just making it easy for clients to update their sites. I mean, that sounds kind of, I don't know, like a canned response, but really, I don't get a ton of feedback from clients. But
that's
when
usually
I do
a good sign, though, sometimes.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's one of those no news is good news. Mm-hmm. But when I do, it's always like, oh my gosh, this is so easy to use. Thank you so much. So I think that making it easy for clients to use is something that I've excelled at using Expression Engine.
So do you believe that's might be one of the best things about EE? Like, what do you think is the best thing about Expression Engine?
That's definitely part of it. I mean, Expression Engine, I love it. I really love it. The flexibility and the extensibility are the two greatest things about it, in my opinion, because it allows me to say yes to clients pretty quickly rather than, let me think about it and I'll get back to you. Because most of the time I can just say, yeah, we can do it and here's what it's going to take.
So on the flip side, what do you think is the worst thing about EE?
About the platform itself, I don't think there's any one major thing. There's probably a lot of little things, but if I were to pick one thing, it would definitely be the enormous bug list. That's the thing. I mean, I don't run into a ton of bugs, but when I do, I'm usually able to spot them in that bug list and that bug tracker, and that's just aggravating.
Now, do you have any add-ons that you absolutely cannot live without when you're building any kind of Expression Engine system?
Yeah. The first one that comes to mind is Wigwam.
Mm-hmm.
I love Wigwam. A couple others, Matrix is another one, but CE Image is definitely one of my top favorites as well. It really makes the image manipulation stuff real simple. And one that I've been using as of the last, I don't know, 6 months or so is ZooVisitor. I used to use User quite a bit, but ZooVisitor for some reason just makes more sense in my head somehow. So I've really been liking that one.
Yeah, I've been liking ZooVisitor myself too, especially because it's dealt with in the channel entries.
Yeah.
And because of that, I can actually, there was an aha moment for me when I had to expire members.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that's a way I can expire members, just expire the entry and deal with that. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, it does give you a little bit more flexibility in that regard. So I'm really happy about that one.
Now, it doesn't have to be about an Expression Engine. It could be more general. But what's a new or maybe a new to you technique that you're really interested in trying but haven't really started looking at yet?
Ooh, a new technique. You know, I don't think I have one unless you count like a business technique, in which case it'd be to be more hands off.
Oh, really? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to grow my business a little bit. And so by that, I mean doing a little bit less of the coding, less of the development side of things and handing that off and becoming more and more of a manager, creative director type of role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. So we're nearing the end of the show, but before we let you go, for Get to Know EECMS, we've got our rapid fire 10 questions.
Right.
So are you ready?
Okay.
macOS or Windows?
macOS.
What's your favorite mobile app?
Ooh, probably Tweetbot.
What is your least favorite thing about social media?
Drama and whining.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I don't think I can attempt it now. I'm probably too old for it, but I would have loved to have been a professional athlete.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. What profession would you not like to do?
Accounting.
Who is the web professional you admire the most?
Oh, man. That's a good question. You got me stumped on that one. Web professional. I don't know. Can I get a pass?
Sure.
A bunch of names came through my head, but I really can't pinpoint one or two.
All right. So what music do you like to code to?
House music.
Do you have a secret talent and what is it?
Juggling a soccer ball.
Very cool. What's the most recent book you've read?
It was a jQuery book that I was given to review.
And lastly, Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Right on.
All right. So that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us, Angie.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
In case our listeners want to follow up with you, where can they find you online?
They can find me on Twitter at Angie Herrera. And you can email me as well, Angie@420creative.com.
Great. Thanks so much, Angie.
Thank you.
Now we'd like to thank our sponsor for this podcast, Pixel and Tonic.
We also want to thank our partners, Engine Hosting, Devotee, and EE Insider. If you are interested in supporting the podcast through a sponsorship, please visit ee-podcast.com/advertise. We have ad spots available now.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you want to know more about the podcast, make sure you follow us on Twitter at eepodcast or visit our website, ee-podcast.com.
Don't forget to tune in to our next episode when we'll talk about ad stats and measurements with Carl Crawley. Be sure to check out our schedule on our site, ee-podcast.com/schedule, for more upcoming topics.
This is Leia Alcantara.
And Emily Lewis.
Signing off for the unofficial Expression Engine podcast. See you next time.
Cheers.